Good evening. Thank all of you for joining us on this Wednesday night virtual Bible study. I trust that you've had a good week, and just want to wish all of you a happy Memorial Day weekend. And just ask you to take your Bibles with me now and turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6, we're going to be looking at verses 11 through 18. Galatians 6, verse 11 through 18, this is the last chapter in the book of Galatians. And of course, we know the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Galatians to the churches in the region known as Galatia. Galatians chapter 6, verse 11. See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these try to compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. God, we thank you again for your word. As we begin our Bible study in your word, God, I pray that you give us insight into your word, help us to receive it, learn from it, apply it to our lives. And I pray that I will decrease and you will increase. Forgive me of my sins, Lord, and give me the words to say. And I claim Isaiah 55:11. As your words go forth, I pray that they will not return void, but accomplish what pleases you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For my introduction, I want to begin by reading a part of an article that I came across about an organization called the Flat Earth Research Society. The article says this: forget what you learned in elementary school. The earth is flat as a pancake. All that stuff about the earth being round and the sun being the center of the universe is a big joke, insists C.K. Johnson, president of the International Flat Earth Research Society, a group that takes great pleasure in poking fun at, quote, globites. The organization, backed by 1,400 members from around the world, or rather from across the plain, gets scads of mail from dedicated teachers and students who blast it as a group of kooks and charlatans. Maybe it is, but Johnson claims the society's largest single group of members is doctors. Then come lawyers and other professional people like engineers and architects. The flat earthers dismiss modern science as a club for sun worshipers and write off the American and Russian space programs as multi-billion dollar hoaxes. The moonwalk was done on a Hollywood set. All fake, says Johnson, a former airplane mechanic. Furthermore, he and his followers insist the sun is not stationary and does not set. They figure it to be a gigantic spotlight 32 miles across that moves in an ellipse just 3,000 miles above the center of the earth. The other stars are just a lot of tiny holes poked in a huge canopy covering this planet. Do flat earthers believe in anything? We believe the earth is flat. Everything else is pure conjecture, Johnson replies. As I said, Paul wrote this letter to the churches in the region known as Galatia, which is now modern-day Turkey. And Paul wrote this letter because false teachers had infiltrated the churches and were teaching a false doctrine. They were the flat earth society of his day, if you will. Because when you took what the false teachers were teaching and compared it to the truth of God's word, it totally made no sense at all. They were teaching salvation by works and by works alone. They were undermining the New Testament doctrine of salvation by grace through faith. Remember Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now remember that the doctrine of grace, grace is defined as that unmerited and undeserved favor. Or put another way, grace is what is when God gives to us what we don't deserve. God gives to us what we don't deserve. We don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve a home in heaven. We don't deserve to be called a child of God. But because of God's grace, we enjoy these blessings and benefits of being a Christian. But these false teachers were teaching that it took works, and they were very concerned about outward appearance. So Paul now ends this letter by warning the Christians that he's writing to that these false teachers just want to win them over to their way of thinking. These false teachers just wanted to get them to accept their false doctrine of works, their doctrine of outward performance, so they, the false teachers, can boast and brag. But we notice here in verse 14, Paul says, God forbid that I would be like that. He says, God forbid that I would boast in anything but the cross of Christ. These false teachers boasted, the King James Version says. The New King James Version says here, glories. They boasted in their keeping the law. They boasted in their performance and their works. Now, in today's English language, the word boast has a somewhat of a negative connotation. It means to brag, and it usually involves pride. But here in the original Greek language, the word boast here, or glory here, means to praise, to rejoice about something. It means to not be ashamed. And so, as we look at this passage, notice three reasons why we as Christians can glory in the cross. In other words, using the King James Version word, we'll notice three reasons why we can boast or rejoice in the cross. So the title of tonight's lesson is Glory in the Cross. Notice three things here in this passage. First of all, let's talk about the crucifixion. We can glory in the cross because of the crucifixion. The cross crucifies, in other words. Look at verse 14. Notice Paul says, but God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Since Adam and Eve committed that first sin, sin came into the world, and the world has been under a system. The world has been under a set order or arrangement that is opposed to the things of God. You see, in the Bible, the word world comes from a Greek word, cosmos. The word world comes from a Greek word cosmos, and that word means set order or set arrangement. We get our English words cosmetics from the word cosmos. We get our word cosmetology from this Greek word cosmos. It means a set order. And so the world today, or since Adam and Eve committed that first sin, the world is in a set order that is against the things of God. Because of Adam and Eve's first sin, sin came into the world, and the world, this cosmos, is in a set arrangement that is against the righteousness of God, against the things of God. It's against the teaching of principles found in the Bible. But because of the cross of Jesus Christ, we can say to the world, you're dead to me. We can say to the world, you're dead to me. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, it says. Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven. We're no longer members or citizens of this world. Romans 6:6 says, our old man was crucified with him, speaking of Jesus. So we can praise, we can rejoice. We don't have to be ashamed, all because of the cross of Christ. We can boast, if you will, in the cross, because the world no longer has control over us. The world no longer has authority over us. The world is crucified to us, and we are crucified to the world because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. We are free from this world of sin and on our way to heaven. Sometimes, as we live our lives in this world, we sometimes struggle with sin, and we sometimes allow ourselves to go after the things of the world. Things like power, prestige, possessions. We go after money and fame and fortune and worldly pleasure. Now, these things, there's nothing wrong with these things in and of themselves, but it is sinful when we pursue these things in the wrong way, and certainly not for the wrong reasons. But those worldly ideals and worldly things are not of God, and we are dead to those things because of the cross of Christ. So we see here we can boast or rejoice in the cross, number one, because it crucifies, because of the crucifixion, and also number two, because of the new creatures. New creatures. Look at verse 15. It says, for in Christ neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Paul here uses circumcision to make his point against legalism and to make his point for grace. False teachers in Paul's day said that following the Old Testament law regarding circumcision was necessary to be saved. Circumcision was an outward physical symbol. It served as a reminder of God's covenant with his people. But it was an Old Testament ritual. In the Old Testament days, they performed circumcision as a ritual or ceremony. And I've got here, I want to share with you a definition for the word ritual. A ritual is an established procedure for religious reasons. Any practices or patterns of behavior regularly performed in a set manner. A set of actions performed mainly for their symbolic value. A word that we would use in today's English language is tradition. You see, so oftentimes in our Christianity today, we get caught up in tradition. We get in a rut, if you will, of doing things for symbolic value. We end up tending to just go through the motions of ritual. We perform these patterns of behavior. But because of the cross of Christ, we can identify ourselves as new creatures in Christ, free from tradition, free from having to go through ritual, free from having to go through any kind of Old Testament ceremony. In 1903, the Russian Tsar noticed a guard posted for no apparent reason on the Kremlin grounds. Upon inquiry, he discovered that in 1776, Catherine the Great, in that spot, found the first flower of spring. "Post a guard here," she commanded, "so that no one tramples that flower underfoot." Some traditions die hard. You see, as the story goes, Catherine the Great had ordered a guard there in 1776 to guard a flower, and in 1903, there was a guard still posted there for no apparent reason. Let's make sure, because of the finished work of Jesus on the cross, let's make sure that we don't allow ourselves to do things as a ritual or routine. Let's make sure we don't do things because of tradition. Because of the finished work of Jesus on the cross, we're spiritually dead and made spiritually alive and free from performance in things like rituals and ceremonies. So we see here, we can boast and rejoice in the cross because, number one, of the crucifixion, because, number two, of the new creation, and number three, because of the condition. The condition. Look at verse 16. Verse 16 says, "And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God." As I mentioned a minute ago, Adam and Eve committed that first sin, and the Bible teaches that all of us are born into this world as sinners, separated from God. The Bible even goes as far as to say in Romans chapter 5, verse 10, that before we're saved, we're actually enemies of God. As sinners, that is the status of our relationship. We're enemies of God. But when we accept Jesus as Savior, we're made at peace with God. The Bible says that we are brought back together. We are reconciled to God when we accept Jesus as our personal Savior. In other words, we're brought back into a right relationship with God. But in addition to being at peace with God, we can also have the peace of God. Because of the finished work of Jesus on the cross, we have that peace that passes all understanding, even in the most difficult times. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this, "To trust God in the light is nothing, but to trust Him in the darkness, that is faith." Even when life seems to be totally out of control, we can live in peace. We can have that peace that passes all understanding because God is always in control. Because of the cross and what it means to us, we can glory, we can boast, we can rejoice because the world is dead to us. We can rejoice and boast because we are alive in Jesus Christ as new creatures. And we can boast and rejoice even in the most difficult times. We can have a condition of peace that you just can't explain with words. Let's live life rejoicing and praising God because of the cross. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this passage, God, that tells us how we can live life and rejoice in the cross, rejoicing in the fact that the world is dead to us. We are new creatures in Christ on our way to heaven. We have victory over sin, death, hell, and the grave because of the cross. And even in the most difficult times, even during the storms of life, we can have that peace that passes all understanding. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.